Amen. If you haven't turned in your Bible yet, please do so to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to spend a few minutes in the Word before we celebrate around the table of communion. And then I want to also give you notice. As I said last week, we want to share in some testimonies. And I'll ask that the AV guys would have a couple of runners to bring some mics to those who would like to share. Look with me at Matthew chapter 26, and we are going to read together verses 26 through 29. I invite you to stand out of reverence and respect for God's Word as we read together. Again, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, He gave thanks and broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." Then He took the cup. He gave thanks, and He offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom." The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Please be seated. When we have the communion a little bit later, I'm quite sure that we will not be having an Italian communion today. Some of you ask, well, what is that? Well, one Sunday when I was not here, we found out that they had garlic matzahs. So I'm calling that Italian communion. So, elders, I'll leave it in your hands that we don't end up with garlic matzahs next month in August. There you bet. We celebrate communion along with other churches. We at Island Lines Church celebrate it once a month, the last Sunday of the month. Other churches celebrate it more often, more frequently. Some celebrate it every week. And someone asked me just recently, actually it was a parent that was finishing the VBS week up with their child, and we had invited them to come out to church, and this parent asked me, they said, "Oh, well, do you all celebrate Holy Communion at your church?" And I thought that was an odd question. What church would, if it's a true church of Christ, of Jesus Christ, what church would not celebrate communion? And yet there are some churches that don't celebrate it or do it very, very infrequently. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, went through celebrating of communion. And our church, it was once a month. And I wondered if, like myself as a young person, I wonder if we sometimes lose sight of the meaning of communion. I wonder sometimes if we think it's just a ritual to go through. I wonder sometimes if, you know, we hear the word communion and we put everything in cruise control. Oh yes, we go up, we get the bread, we get the cup, we come back, we... And I think Jesus' words to His disciples first and then to us some 2,000 years later, He has something to say to us today. And it's this. Jesus says, remember. Do this in remembrance of Me. Why? Why would Jesus say this to His disciples, and why would it be recorded in the Scriptures through the inspiration of the Spirit for us some 2,000 years of church history? Why would Jesus make such a point of this? Well, it's really quite simple, is it not? We so easily, what? Forget. Perhaps there's been times that, you know, you go through your life and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I got church on Sunday, and oh yeah, you know, we'll have communion. And sometimes we allow it to lose its impact, its import. And today I think Jesus wants us to look at this for a few minutes to remember something. And in fact, it's so important that Jesus gives us some visuals. Isn't that great? I don't know about you, but visuals really help me. I'm a very simple-minded man, and so visuals really, really help me. Now, unfortunately, the church has taken the visuals, the bread and the cup, that Jesus took from the common meal that they were having. He took the cup, which was common wine. For those of you who are not familiar with wine in first century Palestine, it was very watered down. You know, the common water, common wine of the day was very watered down. Also, the bread was the bread that they were eating at the meal. It wasn't a special Eucharist, and it didn't have, you know, special little symbols written on it, and there wasn't a priest there swinging some canter of incense around and mumbling in Latin and calling it to turn into some, you know, Jesus flesh and blood. It wasn't any of that silliness that the institutional church has brought about over the centuries. Neither was it something that was to be withheld from people to try to control them, which the church and the institutional church did for many, many hundreds of years. In fact, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, makes it a personal matter of conscience. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "Therefore, anyone who would eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner, the body and the blood of Christ, does so and brings judgment upon themselves. Therefore, judge yourself. For if I judge myself, I will not come under judgment," says the Lord. Now that sounds like to me that Jesus puts it in our hands individually. We also remember Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "Look, if you are at the altar offering your gift in worship, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your altar, leave your gift at the altar, and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." That tells me that even in the midst of communion, or maybe even more so in the midst of communion, that if we remember that my brother, my sister, has something against me, if there's an issue that is unresolved, Jesus says, don't worry about it. Take communion. Is that what he says? He says, leave your worship there. First, go, be reconciled, straighten out the issue. Oh, but boy, we don't want to do that because, I mean, that might be embarrassing. I might have to say that I'm wrong. I might have to say I'm sorry. Oh, we'll probably get emotional. I don't want to get emotional in church. I don't want to, you know, the service has to go on. I don't want to interrupt the service. You know what? That is all excuses. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. What more could be honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ than to get ourselves and our relationships right? And so if you bear something against your brother, or you know that your brother bears something against you, it says you go. It doesn't say wait for them.
Well, he didn't say they were sorry, so I'm not saying I'm sorry.
Time to grow up, folks. Grow up spiritually. And Jesus calls us through communion to remember what he has done for us so that we will revel in its significance. We will glory in the foundation of the cross. We will receive with gladness and joy the emblems, the remembrances of his broken body and his shed blood. Jesus calls us to remember his sacrifice for us so that we will remember how our sins are forgiven and that our life has been saved through the sacrifice of Christ and therefore will love him and will serve him continually. That's what Jesus calls us to do. That's our main point this morning, that we remember his sacrifice, how our sins are forgiven, that our life has been saved through his sacrifice, and therefore we're going to love him and serve him continually. It's a continual reminder and it's a continual commitment of our heart. I don't know about you, but there are times as I'm walking this walk with Jesus that I begin to think, you know, hey, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty good spiritually. I mean, you know, I'm not doing the big sins anymore. You know, no more dirty drinking, thinking, stinking, all that good stuff. I'm not doing it. Oh, but what about that attitude, Tom? What about the way you're responding to your wife? What about the way you're responding to your children? What about the way you're interacting on your driving? Y'all can say, oh me. Y'all are lying. And so Jesus calls us to remember. Let's break this down in a few minutes we have. Number one, Jesus says, take this bread, it is my body. He broke the bread and he said, take this and do this in remembrance of me. This is for you. This is for you. You got to understand that what Jesus did was not for himself. It was not for glory. It was not for anything except the Father's will poured out for you and me. I want you to think for just a moment about your body. Think about your body for a second. We spend an awful lot of time dealing with this flesh bag, don't we? This skin job. Think about this morning. You got up and hopefully you showered. And you got yourself ready. You threw on some cologne or some perfume. Ladies, you put on your face. You know, you picked out some clothes to wear. Some of y'all need to pick out a little bit better. We spend a lot of time to care for our body. You know, we all want to look good. You know, and that's okay as far as that goes. Just to remind everybody that that's not what church is about, right? Looking good. And that's why I remember one person said, Pastor, you know, I really think that if we come to church, we should all dress our very best because we're doing it for the Lord. I got to remind you again, God doesn't care if you dress your best. He's really not interested if you wear a jacket and tie or jeans and a t-shirt. As long as it's modest and you're not trying to bring attention to yourself and take glory and attention away from him, that's fine. You know, that's one of the reasons people have asked me in the past, well, don't you all wear hats in church? You know, ladies, don't they wear hats? No, we don't wear hats. Because it's not about hats. It's not about having the best hat or the best fashion. That's not what church is about. And it's certainly not something that Jesus had in mind. Listen, he could care less about your hat. Now, if you have a hat on, that's fine. That's fine. Somebody said, Pastor, you ought to wear a hat when you're preaching because you're blinding me with the flash. Can't do anything about that. We take care of our body. Think about this for a second now. You got up this morning. You took care of your body. What else did you do? What else did you do this morning? Drank some coffee to get your brain moving. What else? Ate some food, somebody said. I see the lie meter going, zzz, hitting the bell. Hopefully you wait on each other. You get some breakfast, right? You drink something. Mr. Ollie's got me on the ID Life plan and I'm looking forward to these protein shakes that are going to strip the weight off so I can eat more pizza. But we take care of ourselves. Think of all that we do for our body because our body is us, right? Think about that. Some of us deal with sicknesses and illnesses and we have to take medicine. We have to do this or that for the body. Some of us go to the doctor. We'll go to the ER when we're in pain. Oh, pain is quite the motivator, is it not? Think of all that we do to either avoid pain or deal with pain. Pain is a huge motivator. By the way, Courtney and Ryan, just apply that to children. Pain on the backside is a good motivator. Very good motivator. I think the Lord gave two hands and two cheeks for that very purpose. That's another sermon. Can you believe the pastor said that? Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not going to be here for a month, so you'll forget by the time I get back. Listen, as we look at our bodies, I want you to think for just a moment about Jesus' body. Jesus was just like you and me. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, he was the Son of God incarnated, he had flesh on, he had a body, physical body, just like you and me. And he cared for his body. I think he was probably a lot more disciplined with his body than we are. I think he fasted a lot more. He rested more than we do. He took care of his body to the balance and the extent that he should. But Jesus dealt with his body like you and me. And there are times that Jesus got sick, and there's times that Jesus had pain. He had to deal with his body. He had to care for his body. But now, Jesus is saying to them through this emblem, he's saying, my body is about to be sacrificed. I am giving my body for you. I want you to think about that for a second. When has there been a time when you would give your entire body for somebody else? I know women in childbirth feel that they're giving their entire body for that baby. That's why Jesus said the woman is in groanings until the child is born, and then they forget the pain and the agony. When's the last time that you truly just gave yourself completely in terms of your body to someone else? Jesus is about to give his body. Think about what was coming. Think about what was about to happen. Torture. Beatings. Brutality. Being spit upon. Blood flowing. We're going to get to that in a minute. Sweat. Discomfort. Humiliation as he's stripped publicly. Why? Because he was about in his body to bear our sins. 1 Peter 2:24. Peter was there from a distance, but he says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And I believe he's speaking primarily of sin sickness, that we are healed primarily spiritually of sin sickness in our bodies so that we can serve him and live for him in righteousness. He bore our sins in just a few hours. The sins of all mankind are about to be laid on Jesus' body. I don't know about you, but there's times that I get stressed out. There's times you can kind of almost like feel the weight of stress upon you. Can you imagine the weight of stress, of sin, of pressure upon Jesus as he bore our sins upon his body? He bore our sins bodily. You've got to catch this. Bodily. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that there was just mental anguish. It means there was physical, bodily pain and anguish and pressure. And so when he takes that bread and he breaks it, it's not just symbolic, it is really foreshadowing what is about to happen to him on the cross. His body is about to be broken apart for you and for me. Number two, Jesus says, in verse 28, he says, take this cup and drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Notice Jesus says, take this and drink from it, all of you. Who's included in those 12 disciples? Judas, the one that's about to betray him. I think there's a powerful message in that. Time doesn't allow us to go into the depths of that. Drink from this, all of you. What is he saying? He's saying this is for all of you. This is not for the extra spiritual guys. It's not just for Peter, James, and John, the little inner core, special disciples, the friends of Jesus. No, this is for all of you. This is for all of you. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out. Do you see it? It connects back with the sacrificial offerings under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant. You remember the drink offerings? What were they to be before the Lord? They were to be poured out. And so his blood is going to be poured out as an offering before the Lord. I want you to think about this for just a second. Think about your blood. Blood's an awful thing sometimes, isn't it? You ever cut yourself really bad and there's just blood flowing out, blood pouring out? I remember a couple years ago, we were visiting Brenda's parents, and Kenny was on a skateboard and took a spill, and he got up, and man, he was just road rashed all up and down his arms, and as he just stood there a second, you know, gathering himself, the blood just started dripping. You know. It's very disturbing. I remember when I was working in construction, I went to the lumber yard, and I was walking towards a pile of lumber to pick out some pieces of lumber, and I didn't see it, but there was one of the metal bands that they strap lumber with. A metal band was sticking out with the sharp end sticking towards me. I didn't see it, and as I walked, it caught me right in the calf. And I'm standing there like, now what do I do? There's nobody around. I was out way out in the yard. And I was like, well, I got to pull it out, I guess. So I pulled it out, and the blood just started pouring out, just pouring. And so I'm kind of like trying to hold it and hobble back, you know, to keep the blood from pouring out. Why? Why do we not want our blood to pour out? Because we know the spilling of our blood means death. That even a simple cut left untended, if the blood continues to flow, means our lifeblood will flow out. We don't want our blood spilling out because it's our lifeblood. We want our blood to stay in. On top of that, when you see blood, it's very disturbing. There's some people at the sight of blood, they faint. You know, there's some people that just faint when they see blood. And I understand that. It's very disturbing. When they're taking blood from me, when I'm donating blood, I look away. I remember one time I thought, hey, I'm pretty good. I can take care of this. No problem. And they, you know, they pump up the vein and the veins, and they pop that thing in there and the blood just started flowing. I was like, whoo, baby. You know, Mr. Tough Guy was about to go down. It's very disturbing. Jesus says here, my lifeblood, listen, you with me? Say amen. My lifeblood is about to be poured out for you. For the forgiveness of your sins. Why? Because we're told in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Under the old covenant, blood, the lifeblood being poured out, proved that there had been death. The price of sin, the penalty of sin, was paid. That's why the animal had to be slit. Their throat was slit, the blood poured out, and therefore death was guaranteed. Something had to die for our sin. And Jesus is saying to you and me, to take this cup, it is the blood of the new covenant that I'm going to make with you. He says, my lifeblood is about to be poured out. It is going to prove my death for you and for me. The death was either going to be yours and mine or his. And Jesus says, my blood shall be poured out. My lifeblood will be poured out. My death will be poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Wow. I hope you will go away from today and you will dwell and think upon this. Time doesn't allow us to go into great, great detail today, but as we take communion and we celebrate the communion, it's not just a wafer and a cup of juice. Now, there's nothing magical in that. And you're not going to, you know, get spiritual, magical, mystery stuff from taking these elements. They're just juice and a cup, but and bread and a plate. But it's what they symbolize. It's what they represent, the body and the blood of Christ. And so when we take it, we're saying, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I receive. And Lord, I am so grateful. And I remember you this day. Your sacrifice, what you have done for me. Your blood poured out for me. The forgiveness of my sins. So we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. We are so grateful, Father, that you did not spare your only begotten Son, but sent him forth as a sacrifice of sin, that our sins could be forgiven, covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If there are any who are here today and you have never opened your heart and put your faith in the Christ who sacrificed and the Christ who rose. What a beautiful day to do it. Rather than staying away from the table of the Lord, what a beautiful day to embrace Christ and celebrate with the family of God His goodness at the table. If that's you, then I'd like to pray for you. If you know you need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, surrender your life to Him, then I invite you to be a bold person and raise your hand to the Lord. You're not raising it to me. Raise your hand to the Lord. If you know you need to put your faith in Christ, you need to embrace Him in faith. Give Him your life. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hand, that as they embrace these elements, that their faith will be strengthened and the reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ will be brought to bear on their lives. Jesus, thank You. And thank You for these remembrances that we receive now. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, Amen. I'm going to invite my elders and servers to come.